stand to our feet and turn over to Psalms 133. Turn over to Psalms chapter 133 this morning. Good to see everybody in the house of God. Good to be saved today. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can get saved. As I've already said, as we've already sung about. Boy, I tell you, one of my most favorite songs in the Redback book is page 379. There is a fountain filled with blood. Thank God for that. And I'm glad that the Lord reached down for me. The psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 40 that I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry and lifted me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And that's where the Lord reached down for you and found you. If you're saved today, and let me say this, that if you're unsaved, you can get saved. Thank God for that. Psalms 133, a very short chapter today, but probably at least going to have two messages out of it. I am aware the time won't be timely today, but got a lot to say. So if the Lord don't change my mind, I will preach the second part tonight. But Psalms chapter 133, look in verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly need your touch and need your help today. And Lord, as we preach, I really believe this would be the message for the hour. And Lord, we're just depending on you to help us while we might preach. If there's somebody here that needs some help in this, Lord, in this area, maybe with living in unity, not only here at the church, but at home and with folk that they work with, I pray today that it would help them. And there may be somebody today here that does not know what that means, how to live in unity, for they don't know you, and they need to get saved today. And Lord, I pray they'll come and trust you. Now, we just want to thank you for the songs that's been sung. What a blessing. And Lord, we pray this message will be a help to your people. Help us now. Touch us and anoint us afresh. And that from heaven. We'll give the glory for it all. And save that sinner's nearest tale for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. As most of you can figure out from what we're going to deal with in these chapters or in these verses right here, has to deal and that with unity. And that word unity simply means the state of being one or in oneness or in agreement or uniformity. In other words, being together in agreement. As a matter of fact, if you look in your Bible, this is the very first place that you find the word unity in the Bible. Now we find that its doctrine, or at least the thought of unity, is all through the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of the Revelation. As a matter of fact, we're taught that the Godhead is one. Take your Bible quickly, by the way of introduction. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and we find out something about the Godhead here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Whatever God's called you to do, do it. Walk worthy of it. Whatever God wants you to do, just do it. Do it with all your might. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll come back and deal with that later. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Let me say today that God is one. How can I say today, as we find in the book of 1 John chapter 5, you'll see that there are three that by record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One today. And so we find that unity is the thought or the action of dwelling as one. So we know that God is one, but He's separate. Don't ask me that, because I can't explain it today. But I do know this, that they move and that together, and it's all wrapped up in the Word of God. Then let me say today quickly that it is good, and we'll see this here in a minute, to live in unity. It's good to have unity in the home. Amen. Ain't it good when you go home, daddies and mamas, and I mean you can get along with one another, and the kids are doing good, and there's unity in that house. Hey, listen, there's nothing worse than going into a house where there's bickering and there's fighting, and mom's against dad, dad's against mom, and the children's just all tore up, and nobody's happy, and nobody's getting along. Hey, that house is in turmoil and a horrible place to be. Listen, he said right here that we need to dwell together in unity. It's good to have unity in this church, and that's what I'm going to deal with this morning. But it's good to have unity between the brethren. Now, it's good to have unity at folk that you work with. I mean, you don't want to go to work and just constantly be bickering and fighting with folk that you work with and with your neighbor. Hey, I've got two different families that live on each side of me, way apart from me there, but we get along together. It's good to have unity with your neighbors. Well, you don't want to be shooting at one another, do you? Amen. I hope that you ain't. Some of you might be doing that. I don't know. But you ought not to be shooting at your neighbor. Amen. I guess he needs to shoot first. I don't know. Let me move on. I'll take that out before it goes on the radio. But let me say this today, that spiritual unity and scriptural unity is not simply getting along. You see, there is a difference. See, we can come in here and be unified as a church and be one, but we could be one around the wrong thing. And see, we find that as I thought about this, I thought about when the 12 spies come back from the land of Canaan over there, and 10 of them come back and they were unified. And then 10 came back and said, we can't go in to the promised land. They were unified. They were at unity together, and they said, we cannot go in. But that was not the right thing. Because God said they could go in. As a matter of fact, he said, you just go in and I'll give you the land. I'll drive out those that are before you. All they had to do was go. You know what? In serving God, I've learned this over the years, that a lot of times if we just go, God would pave the way. Amen. If we would be willing and be faithful to do the job, God would pave the way. Are we awake this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I've seen this. If you just be faithful in what God wants you to do, I believe God would make a way. Amen. I believe that with all my heart today. Hey, but it's when we get into procrastination and when we don't want to go and when we don't want to move forward that God is not going to bless and move. Listen, we ought to be at unity and that with the Lord today. In other words, we ought to be serving Him. We ought to be following Him. We ought to be one with Him, not having our way, but His way today. Now, let me say today that there are some things that matter in this church. Listen, salvation, how a body gets saved, how a person gets saved matters today. What do you mean? Hey, there is only one way, and that to heaven. There is only one way, and that to be saved, and to have your sins forgiven, and that's through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood at Calvary. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not giving that up today. Hey, listen, if everybody in here don't believe that, I'll resign, I'll quit, I'll go home, I'll do something else, but I'm not giving up on that for the sake of having unity today. Listen, I believe there are some things that we cannot give up on. Listen, salvation, eternal security. Hey, there's only one way to heaven. I believe you ought to have a conviction in your life about separation and so on and so forth. Now, let me say that real quick. There are some things that just don't matter. What do you mean there are some things that just don't matter? And I brought this up the other day. Whether the color of the carpet and the fabric on the pews, I can get along with that. You understand? You say, well, them ain't spiritual matters or scriptural matters. They may not be, but I will tell you this. I've seen churches getting hot and heavy meetings about that thing, and folk just about come to fisticuffs over the color of the carpet and what's going to be put on the pew and the paint on the wall. Before it comes to that, I'll let you pick what you want, friend. I ain't interested in fighting over that. You need to understand today that the job of the devil is to destroy the unity that is in your home and the unity that is in this church today. If we are fighting against ourselves, then we're never going to be able to get the job done. out in the world. Now Paul, I'm going to read these and I'll come back to them. But he told the church at Corinth, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul, he said, look, in this one verse, he said, I want you to speak the same thing. He said, I don't want there to be any divisions among you. He said, no divisions. He said that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You reckon that Paul wanted them to be the same? You say, does God want us to walk around here and all be the same? All have the same demeanor. All have the same song to sing. Now, that ain't what he's saying right there. But he is saying that he does want us in Christ and that to think alike and be alike in Christ. He does want us in that to be in agreement in serving him today. He said, finally, brethren, in 2 Corinthians, he said, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 1 Peter 3, he said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. Verse 1 of Psalms 131, he said, behold how pleasant and how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, four descriptions he gives about this unity. I'm going to deal with two this morning. He uses two words to deal with how good that, or to say what unity is. First of all, he uses the word good and he uses the word pleasant. Then he uses two examples in verses 2 and 3. He uses the example of the ointment, of the anointing oil that God had made specifically, and that for the tabernacle, and that for the priest. And then he talks about the dew that fell on Mount Zion and on Mount Hermon. We'll probably look at them tonight, God being our helper. But I want to deal with two things here this morning with unity. First of all, he talks about how the brethren dwell together. He says that you dwell together. Now that word dwell simply means a permanent residence or an idea of continuance. You know, the only way that we're going to continue as a church and dwell together as a church is to have unity. You say, well, that's our name. That may be our name, but friend, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm a little nervous this morning. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, got stuck there in Galatians 5 and 15, where he says, but if you bite and devour one another, I take heed that you be not consumed one another. And man, I just got hung up on that verse. I couldn't get away from it. And so then God, hey, I didn't pick this. Hey, I was sitting on the couch the other day. God said, God, and I don't know if these other preachers get messages like this. God said, go look at Psalms 133, and I did, and here we are this morning. But listen, he said to dwell in unity. He said it is what? Good. It's good. It's not bad. It's good to dwell together in unity. Do you know it's all right if you get along? Do you know it's all right if me and you get along? You ever been around people that just don't want to get along? They're happy if they're arguing with people. I mean, now listen, I and my wife ain't here to tell that this is the truth. I love to argue with her. I do. I will intentionally be wrong, know that I'm wrong. Honey, you'll get this one day, son. And argue with her just for the fun of it. Now that's fun to do because I can watch your face turn red and all these things, you know. And then I'll finally say, I know you're right. I'm just having fun. But you know what? There are some people that honestly just don't want to get along. But you know what the scripture said right there? He said that it is good and it is pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So what is the idea of the word good this morning? First of all, that word good means valid. It means not weak or deficient, having strength adequate to support. Let me give you an example. I done some work here, maybe it's about a year ago, and I done some work for a facility over in Etowah, and I was just going to trade out some work, and they had some lumber cut out there, and I said, well, why don't we just trade on my hours against that lumber out there? And he said, look, he said, you don't want that lumber. He said, that lumber's been sawed, and it's set there, and he said, it's no good. He said, it's dirty, it's rotten. And he says, you go to build something with it, it's going to fall down. He said, it's no good. Why? Didn't have no strength to it. Listen, you know what unity does in a church? You know what makes unity good? Is it gives it strength and adequate support and that to fight the battle and do what we must do for God. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Am I making sense this morning so far, church? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We quoted this just a few minutes ago, but I want to read all of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look in verse 10. The Apostle Paul is starting in the very first chapter. And if there was ever a church that the Apostle Paul wrote to that had problems and had trouble, it was the church at Corinth. Bless folks' heart that want to name their church Corinth Baptist Church. I'd stay away from that name if I was going to be honest about it. But look in verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now remember that verse. Now look at verse 11. "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are" what? "Contentions among you." Paul said, look, from the house of Chloe, I said, I've got an understanding that there are some contentions. There's some fighting. There's some things going on. There's some strife that's going on in the church. And says, that's not good. He says, I want you to be of the same mind and of the same accord and do the same thing in serving Christ. Why? Because it's good. It gives strength. If we're of the same mind and of the same accord. Again, as I preach on unity, I'm not preaching on unity's sake just to get along. I want you to understand that. I'm preaching on as we gather around Scripture and around the right things that comes from the Bible. It's like this. When I talk about the Bible, you all know that I'm talking about a King James 16:11 Bible. Y'all know that. And so when I talk about unity, you understand that I'm talking about the unity that God wants. Listen, unity will give this church strength. Unity. When we get unified around the right things and around the right person, not the preacher, not the singers, not the Sunday school teachers, but get unified around the blessed Lord Jesus Christ who saved us and gave himself for us. Hey, when we get, he said, look, he said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. So unity around him gives strength. But if we're fighting and we're arguing, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There is strength in unity. You cannot do your own thing and dwell in unity. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can't preach my own message and expect it to help this church. Oh, I can preach my own message. But it ain't necessarily going to help this church. It ain't necessarily going to help you. It ain't necessarily going to help me. But I do know this, that friend, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and we get around the right things, there is strength in that. Hey, listen, Ecclesiastes 4, he put it like this. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, when they have heat, oh, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hey, listen, if we're going to have strength in these last days and that to fight the battle and to get the gospel out and to go forward and this church survive, we're going to need unity between us. It takes unity. We're going to have to be unified around the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this today, that we need to be unified and that together. What are you talking about? Hey, there's just sometimes you're just going to have to look over some people. And I know I preached on this before. I understand that. But you're just going to have to look over some people. You're just going to have to, listen, their faults are going to grate on your mind. I didn't say their sin. I said their faults are going to grate on, and you're just not going to agree with them all the time. But you know, just sometimes we just got to let some things go. Hey, listen, love covereth a multitude of sin. The Bible said one time there, he tells us in another point, you know, that we can just look over some things and go on. If you get bogged down with some people, they're going to wire you out. And that's just how it is. But listen, he wants us to dwell together in unity. It's good. It provides strength for the people of God. Then can I say that good means proper and fit, that it's right and that it's suitable. Do you know that it's just the right thing for the church to dwell together in unity? It's just right. I don't know any other way to say it. It's just right. What's the opposite of unity? Well, then we're against each other, ain't we? If we're not unified, then we're separated. Listen, do you think God wants that? Do you think God wants His people to be separated and out from one another? You ever seen people that just can't get along with anybody? I'm talking about church people. Yeah, you ever seen church people that just cannot get along with anybody? You ever seen, let me say this, and I've seen people come through this church like this. There ain't a church good enough to suit them. You ever seen people like that? I have. I've seen people that and I'm just not talking about our church. Every church that they go to, they will always find something wrong with it. Can I tell you today, there is not a perfect church. There is not a perfect local assembly. Why? Because a local assembly is made up of imperfect people. We've all got problems. We've all got faults. We've all got things that just grate on us and bother us. And so if you're looking for a perfect church made up of imperfect people, you're never going to find it. And so that teaches us about unity. He said it's good to dwell together in unity. Hey, it's not only the right thing. Listen, if we have unity around the Lord Jesus Christ, and why would we think that sinners would want what we got if we don't even have unity with one with another? But then good also means kindness. When we say that person's good, not only are they doing good things, but chances are they're going to be kind. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Now I want you to flip on these so that you can read them for yourself and hopefully they'll be mindful to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I quoted this one too a few minutes ago as we got started. 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. All right, there we are. In other words, be unified. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you're there unto called that you should inherit a blessing. So what did the Apostle Peter start with? He said, look, he says he's closing out this chapter. You think he's fixing to close out the book. He uses the word finally. I think Paul at one point used the word finally two or three times in the same book there. He said, be ye all of one mind. In other words, be in unity. That's the very first thing he said right here in this verse. He said, be in unity. And then when he said, when you're in unity, he said, have compassion one of another. Love is brethren. Just don't love his brethren. There's a difference there. To have that brotherly love. Jesus told his disciples over there, he said, the world will know that you're my disciple because you have love one for another. Now I'm talking about having unity right now. In other words, we're in agreement. We can be in agreement around the Scripture, but I'm going to tell you there are just sometimes, and I'm not saying that you just got to, let me see how I can put this and not sound bad. Preacher, you're just wanting me to get along with everybody. Well, I wished you could, and I wished I could. But some people it's just hard to get along with. But he tells us right here, he said, have compassion. He said, love his brethren. He says, be pitiful. He says, be courteous. And he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Boy, I've been there a time or two. What do you mean? You know, some people will say some things, one, without thinking. And I think sometimes other people say things because they did think. And they still said it anyway. Now, there's been a multitude of times that I've said things without thinking. And then by the time I've done let it got out of my mouth, boy, I thought to myself, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. I wished I hadn't said that. And then there's also been times, and again, she ain't here to defend herself, that my wife said, man, I couldn't believe you said that. And then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But listen, he said right here, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. How easy is it for us to just want to rire up and get angry because of what somebody said or somebody did? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about church people. And then we just want to get aggravated and we're going to go tell them and give them a piece of my mind, or I'm going to fix their little red wagon. But he said contrarywise, he said don't render evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. The very first thing he said, be of one mind. He said, come over here. He said, don't render evil for evil and railing for railing. But he said, render a blessing for evil. Render a blessing for railing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. It's far better. I would, as I've said in this message, I would rather come in here and us be at unity and getting along than to be arguing and fighting and all those things. There are just some churches known for problems. And I don't want this to be one of those churches. Unity is a good thing. It is a kind thing. It is a strengthening thing, if you'd let me say that, to the church. He said, how good. And then he says this, how pleasant. He said, it is good and pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You know what the word pleasant means? Pleasant means pleasing. Pleasant means agreeable. And pleasant means cheerful. It also means giving pleasure. Now I'm going to be honest with you. As your pastor, it is a joy to sit here and watch fellowship time when we come out of the choir. To watch you all shake hands and smile at one another. It is a joy before service to watch us talk to one another. After service, and some of y'all don't hang around as late as some others do, but it is good to watch us after church stand around and talk and just be a family. You know, that's what a church is, ain't it? Just family? Really? Ain't that right? Are we not brothers and sisters in Christ? And ain't it a wonderful thing? And as your pastor, it's just great to see that. Because I'd far rather pastor a church that is in unity together, that loves one another, loves Christ Jesus the Lord, and wants to do right, as the pastor one that's fighting and bickering all the time. You know, the one thing that the devil, one of the many things he wants to do is turn you against me and me against you. And if he can do that, he's done his job. I've watched the devil do that. The pastors down through the years. He's got pastors against people and people against the pastor. And listen, it won't work that way. Something's going to have to give. It just cannot work in that direction. And the church have unity and go forward. It cannot work when the church is against itself. When one side's against the other, the middle against both sides, and everybody's against everybody, it will not work that way. It cannot work that way. He said, how good and how pleasant. That word pleasant simply means to feel good. As I said, ain't you glad, let me say this, ain't you glad that when you come to church, and I hope it ain't this way for you, that friend that you just ain't fighting and bickering with the person in front of you or the person behind you. Now you and mama or you and your daddy may have been fighting on the way here this morning. You know what I learned? You know how I learned how to keep unity in my house? You know how I learned? And it took me a long time, Mitchell Gay, to figure this out. That my wife was going to be late every Sunday morning. It did not matter. She was going to be late. Now, I know she ain't here to defend herself, but she was going to be late every Sunday morning. You know what I finally figured out? She's just going to be late. And me standing down there at the bottom of the stairwell in my living room going, hurry up, we got to go, it's time to go, was not helping her, and it sure wasn't helping me none. So you know what I learned what to do? I learned just to look over that. Now, she may say that she does better and she does do better than what she used to, because we used to come in here with the door smacking us on the backside of our lap. But, I mean, it just used to frustrate me. But you know how I learned how to keep unity? I just don't say nothing no more. I just let it go. People that just used to come to to preaching and not come to Sunday school or come on Sunday night or Wednesday night used to frustrate me. Still bothers me, son. I mean, I'm glad you're here for preaching. Don't misunderstand me. If that's all you want to come, I'm glad that you're here. But it used to wear me out. And it would just grate on me. And I couldn't rest because of it. And I told the Lord one day, you're going to help me with this. You know what I had to do? I had to let it go. Because you know what I learned about people? They're doing all they want to do. And if you just come for preaching, I hope you get something when you come. But I think you'd do better if you come for Sunday school and the rest of the services too. That's extra, but it didn't cost you nothing. Amen. Behold, how good and how... Amen. That's right. Ain't it? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So pleasant is something that will make you feel good. But then let me say this. Not only does it make you feel good, but it is pleasing and cheerful. So he said, dwelling together in unity ought to give you some cheerfulness. You know that I love to come in here as tired as I know some of you all are on Wednesday night. And sometimes I'm just beat down too when I come in here on Wednesday night. That I just love to come in here and see y'all. Now y'all may not be glad to see me, but I'm glad to see y'all. It is just a cheerful thing for me to come in here and talk to y'all. I can't explain it. I can't. I love coming to church and I love to just sit down and fellowship and just sit down and talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'll talk about the Lord. We'll talk about hunting. I don't hunt that much, but we'll talk about it. I'll let you talk and I'll listen. I don't know what you ladies talk about. I don't know. But we'll talk about that too if you want to. Amen. But listen, it is a pleasing and a cheerful thing to come and dwell together in unity. You know, the very first time that we find the word pleasant in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2. And the Bible said, now the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you find the very first time pleasant is mentioned, it had to do with sight. The second time that pleasant was mentioned had to do with sight. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. You know that it's just pleasant and cheerfulness to see unity? It is. You can see it. You can tell. Do you know that the world out there, and I'm going to deal with this about that dew that falls on Mount Hermon and the Mount Zion over there and about that oil that runs down over Aaron's beard. But you know they can see it. The world can see it. They can see whether we're dwelling in unity or not. I mean, they can tell whether we're pleasant or not. Listen today, I believe the Lord wants us to dwell together in unity. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He wants us to be that way. It may take forgiving people for you to be able to do that. They don't know what they've done to me, preacher. Well, you know what? If they don't know what they've done, or they don't know that they've said something out of the way, or... Let me ask you something. And I've talked about this before. Have you ever just been around somebody that you're normally around, and they're just not acting quite right today? You say, well, they didn't talk to me like they normally do, or they may not even said anything to you. And you'll go home and your mind will begin to work. And it'll begin to turn. And the devil will get in there and he'll tell you them people's mad at you. You've done something to them, or they've heard you say something, or there's something wrong. I would say 9 times out of 10, it probably wasn't you. I'd say they've had something on their mind. Something has happened. Something has captivated them. I've been on both sides of that before. I have thought people was against me and all they were doing was having a bad day. You know, you don't ever have a bad day, do you? You know what unity will help us to do? It'll help us look over when people have a bad day. He said how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen, if you've got a problem with somebody, you're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to tell them. I mean, you ain't gonna be right with your neighbor. You ain't going to be right with your friend. You ain't going to be right with your fellow church member until you deal with it. Things ain't going to be right. If you got all against your brother, you're going to have to deal with. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Men, let's get the verse of invitation. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I'd like to think that as a church we're dwelling together in unity. Or at least we're striving at that. That we're working toward unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you need to take care of something with your brother or with your sister. I'm going to tell you, it'll fix a whole lot. It'll fix everything if you'll just go do that. Maybe today you've never been saved. And you don't know what having unity with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be one with Him and Him with you, what that means and what that's like. You can come and get saved today. But it's a good thing to just come and dwell together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him. How can we expect to worship Him in spirit and truth if we can't even come together in unity? I hope we're doing that, church. I really strive and pray that we're doing that today. If you've got something you need to come talk to the Lord about, I want you to come.